Gentlemen, so yesterday we began a practical conversation about why Mei Ha'ir could be kosher for a mikvah, and why it is assumed to be non-kosher. Right? So if you remember what we spoke about yesterday, so in the Chalkas Binyamin, he argues that unequivocally it's non-kosher. He quotes that the Chazon Ish and Kol HaPoskim, that's his expression, they all say it's non-kosher. But we pointed out that there are three Poskim who say it's kosher that we're aware of. There's Rabbi David Miller in the Sefer, The Secret of the Jew. There is Rabbi Yoda Rosenberg in the Sefer Mikveh Yehuda. And then there is Nissen Tulushkin in the Sefer Taras Mayim. Nissen Tulushkin has the longest presentation of the issue. Effectively, we went through some of the issues that he presents yesterday. One issue relates to the pump. One issue relates to the pump, and we pointed out that you don't necessarily need a pump. If the water comes down, go the whole way, you're not going to need a pump. But if you do need a pump, there are two types of pumps. There is a centrifugal pump, which is that the electricity moves the water here, here, and everywhere. And there's also a suction-based pump, which is that the water is drawn out. The assumption is that even though the person starts the pump through electricity, I push a button, and that gets the pump to start working, the assumption is that that is not enough to create a psul of Maisa Ayidei Adam, of Havayasa Ayidei Adam, right? Remember, one of the psalm of a mikveh is that a human can't be involved in the construction of a mikveh. Mikveh has to be rainwater, straight from Hashem. So how come this is not Havayasa Ayidei Adam when you push the button? So Rabbi Tulushkin argues that the pump is effectively a koach sheni. It's effectively a koach sheni, which might be a grumma. What I have, he points out, this is on page 150 in the Sefer, there's a tshuva on Reb Kiva Eger about how they had certain mikvahs that were made with chains and lowered the water al yaday, the chains. I don't know exactly the situation. Reb Kiva Eger says that koach sheni is considered grumma, and therefore, since the human pushes the button and that starts the electricity, then the electricity makes the water go around and around and around. So it's not like the human is actually making the water move, right? The Gemara in Sanhedrin speaks about how if I tie a person, do not try this. If you tie a person up next to a dam and then you pull the dam, so the first flush of water, right, if that kills the person, that's kolach rishon, that's amchayv. If it's the second flush of water, the continuation of the flow of the water, so I'm not considered a murderer. Kolach sheni is considered not maisa adam, and therefore if it's not maisa adam, comes along Reb Nissen Tulushkin, he says the pumps are not problematic because it's not considered that a human is doing it, because it's kolach sheni. Now, this is a very nice approach. I didn't see Rav Shechter. I wanted to ask him in the Beis Medrash this morning, but my understanding would be that for Rav Shechter, this would be a real problem. Rav Shechter has in his Sefer Be'ikveh Hatzon that Tosfos in Bava Kamma speaks about if a mazik ayde koach sheni. Let's say, for example, I pour some water and the water hits something and then is mazik somebody over there. So Tosfos in Bava Kamma sounds like Kolach Sheni is going to be chayiv by Mazik. Rav Shechter has an understanding that when Tosfos in when the Gemara in Sanhedrin Ayin Ches tells me that Kolach Sheni is Potter, that means there's no din of Ritzicha on Kolach Sheni. There is no din, the Gemara says elsewhere, of Netilas Yadayim if it's Kolach Sheni. Pour the water, and the water goes and somehow hits something. It's like what they call the Rube Goldberg machine, right? It goes from one to the other. Kolach Sheni is not considered Ritzicha. Kolach Sheni is not considered Netilas Yadayim. It doesn't work in Tiyos Yadayim. Mikvashin does not work when in Shchita. It says in Yerideya Simin Vav that if I set up a situation when I, let's say I'm paddling a bicycle and the spokes of the bike and the knives go and they're shechting animals, right? It's kind of cool. It'll be like an awesome machine. So it says over there, that's not good. It says over there that it's not good if it's Kayach Sheni. The Shrit has to be Kayach Mishain. If it's Kayach Sheni, it's not good. So I have three areas of halacha, says Rav Schechter, where there's a distinction between Kayach Rishon and Kayach Sheni. However, every other area of halacha, even Kayach Sheni, is going to be considered Maisa Adam. The way Rav Schechter says it, in the name of Rav Soloveitchik, is that there are certain areas of halacha where we require more than just koach adam, we require what Rav Schechter terms koach gavra. Again, it's like make-believe words. It's between koach adam and koach gavra. It's make-believe words. But the idea is that in these three areas of halacha, the action has to be what we would call a teleological act, meaning to say that I have to be focused on the action when I do it. I have to be focusing me on the result. I do the maisa, I'm focused on the result. If it's a koach sheni, so my maisa is somehow separated from the result, that can't be called a teleological act. And teleological acts are necessary by shchita, by ritzicha, by netilas yadayim. Everywhere else in Judaism, you do not need a teleological act, which is what we are going to translate the razzle-dazzle word as koach gavra's meaning. If that's the case, so according to Rav Schechter, when I push a button and my button starts a pump, starts electricity, and that electricity starts a pump, so yeah, it's called koach sheni in the sense of it's removed, but koach sheni is considered my maisa for everything else in halacha. It's only not my ma'isa for ritzicha. This comes up this time of year, no? You ever heard of something called machine matzahs? Come on, dude. If I'm going to tell you, you can't have your cake and eat it. You can't say that my pump is considered a koach sheni, and therefore it's not going to pass on my mikvah, but my machine matzah is going to be kosher. Right? That would be inherently contradictory. Right? I would argue, again, I wanted to see Rav Schechter this morning and ask him, but like this, like the one time every 27 years, he's not in yeshiva, from what he was in the Beis Medrash morning Seder, but he wasn't done. It seems to me that this would be the biggest problem in the Mei Ha'ir, that the pump, even though it's Koach Sheni, it would be Havaya Ayidei Adam. That's what I would maintain. Again, but this is Judaism in our yeshiva. In the rest of the world, they say that there's a difference between koach rishon and koach sheni by mikvahs. Then we have our kasha, how is matzah kosher? Okay, so that's already something to think about, especially because by matzah you need lishma, no? So it makes it worse, but that's a different issue. So what are some of the potential issues with the Mei Ha'ir? So we noted that if the Mei Ha'ir comes from tanks, so that potentially is a problem. And we pointed out that in Riverdale on various streets, the water comes from tanks, so that's going to be a problem. In certain buildings in New York City, the buildings are tall enough that you can't draw the water up from the normal water system, and you have to have a tank on the roof, and that is what allows the water to come down, right? In taller buildings in New York City, you have what's called a tank on the roof, and that's where the water comes from. This is related, it's relevant for Hilchos Shabbos. Did we speak about this in our Hilchos Shabbos Shiurim? About, in terms of, can I turn on the hot water in an apartment building on Shabbos? Okay, so one of the related issues is a standard tank works, that you have cold water on the roof. Whenever I open the faucet, water is coming down from that tank. That is potentially a much bigger problem Then, if I have a system that the water is coming from under the ground, so the system is that the water is coming from under the ground, and then the water is held in some holding station. So it could be that no water is going to be released until it reaches a certain threshold. It could be that when I turn on my heater, I turn on my hot water, so I am not necessarily causing more water to enter the boiler. If the water comes from underground, what I have is that the water enters the boiler, and the water stays in the boiler for a while. When I open the hot water heater, so what I'm doing is I'm taking out water that was previously heated. It's only going to allow more water to enter the hot water tank if it drops beneath a certain threshold. So that is when you have water from the underground system. If you have water in the tank system on the roof, my understanding is, and again, you have to speak to a plumber, right? Rav Nissen Teleshkin writes that Rabbonim who deal with these shaylas and don't talk to the experts who know what they're doing are making a huge mistake. But my understanding is that those buildings where the water is stored on the roof, which by the way is totally gross, you end up with like rats in your water and stuff like that. That's just a different conversation. A reason not to live in high rises in New York City. But if you are in such a system, whenever I open my faucet, so some water will leave that tank and enter the heating area. Every single release allows more water to enter the heating area. It does not work with the threshold, and that would be a problem. But for our issue, we're not learning Shabbos, now we're learning mikvaos. For our issue, if you have water that is stored in a large tank area, so that is potentially a keli, and that could create shu'uvin issue for the mikveh. He says that in Riverdale, this is the issue. In Forest Hills, this is the issue. Elsewhere in the city, this is not an issue. That's Rav Telushkin's presentation on the sugya. It would emerge, though, that if I want to make a mikveh in a building where I live, and my building has a tank system, meaning my building is enough of a high-rise building. He does not address this issue. But if I have such a tall building that the water is stored on the roof, so then my water is coming from a keli, and that is more of a problem. Now, maybe the keli is not a keli because it's considered mechubar. Yeah, but that's a problem because the Gemara in Bava Kamma tells me, we learned this again, Sif Zayin, Sif Ches, about Chakoko Uvasav Kvaal. If it was a keli beforehand, then you attach it, so it remains a keli to pass on Al Yedei Sheuvin, right? Unless it's a din d'rabbanan. If Sheuvin is a din d'oraisa, so if it's kulo shav, it's going to be a problem. So if I live in a high-rise building and my water is coming from a tank on the roof, so then I end up filling up my bathtub entirely to make my own mikveh, like Rabbi David Miller suggests I do. So that mikveh is kulay shav. It's a din d'oraisa according to the Rambam, right? And by a din d'oraisa, chakaka kivah doesn't help. Right, so that would be a problem with the tank on the building. But if I live in an area and most of the water is coming underground water sources, etc., so then I don't have to really be worried about these issues. So far, so good. Next issue: the water comes through the pipes. Isn't the pipe a keli? So we mentioned yesterday the Pesachei Tshuva Se'if Katan Lamed Gimel points out that if I have a pipe that was intended to be attached to the ground, it actually is attached to the ground, so such a pipe does not invalidate the mikveh. That's the basic halacha. A pipe that's intended to be attached to the ground and is actually attached to the ground is not valid. You have a question, Daniel?
Yeah. No. Like I said,
Can I just speak a little bit louder? I didn't put on my hearing aids now, yeah.
what about the pipes that are bringing the water up in the building? I just have the pipes that are in the ground bringing it to the first floor. Those are the really hard. But there's another pipe, let's say it's attached to that pipe, that's bringing it up to the second or third floor. If you don't put it on that pipe.
Yeah, so, but again, but every pipe that is intended to be attached to the ground, right? First floor, second floor, third floor is all attached to the ground, right? The Ramah Paskins, I could build a mikvah on my roof. That's also considered mechubar lekarka, technically. So that might be okay. In other words, I think alpi halacha, the pipes themselves, the pipes that bring the water, are intended to be attached to the ground. The standard pipe that you buy is not intended to be used in a non-attached sort of way. Does that resolve
So
your
like something attached to the ground, considered something attached to the ground. That's basically my question. Like I say there's
It's hard for
separate.
me to hear, I'm sorry.
Let's say that like I was just pointing out like maybe there's separate segments of the pipe, such that like there's a
So
segment.
if I have a separate segment of the pipe, that could be an issue. Potentially, if I have a separate segment of the pipe which is not really attached to the ground, that could be a problem. In Rabbi Miller's book, he talks about apparently some of the old bathtubs used to work that they would like screw a little thing onto it and the water would come through that. So he has a whole discussion about maybe that pipe is metabel tuma. So he recommends buying rubber pipes. And rubber, he assumes, is not mekabel tumah, and make sure that you use a female coupling, not a male coupling. I don't understand. Again, this is like plumber Torah. I don't know. I know what a female coupling versus a male coupling is. I don't exactly understand why there would be a difference, but that is his argument there, page 366 and following. So that is the pipes. There's another issue related to pipes, though, that is worth discussing. Which is there is a Rambam and a Ravid. The Rambam and the Ravid in the eighth perek of Hilchos Mikvos. The Ravid, and it's quoted in the Rash in Perek Ches, the Rash, excuse me, in Perek Vav, Mishnah Ches. The Rash quotes in Tosefta that a curved pipe, by definition, is considered a keli. A pipe, what they called an elbow, right? That you have a curved pipe that by definition is considered a keli. And apparently, that is like a super duper keli, that even if it's attached to the ground, it is not going to remove the keliness. The issue over here is as follows. The Mishnah in Perek Vav Mishnah Ches speaks about if I have two mikvaos, Matarin ha'elyon min ha'tachdon, I bring the silon shel cheres or shel eiver. And I fill it up. Now the Rishonim are bothered by the kasha. How can I take a silon shel eiver and fill it up? Is it that havayaso ayadei daram kabel tuma? How can I take a lead pipe and fill it up? So half of the Rishonim answer that the pipe is not a problem because the pipe is mechubar lekarka, and therefore it's not a problem. But the Tosefta writes on that Mishnah, and the Rash quotes the Tosefta over there. That if the pipe has an elbow hook, right, the lashon of the Rash is Tosefta says, Matarin ha'elyon min ha'tachdon rachuk min ha'karov, you bring a silon, shel etzem, shel zechuches, etc., etc., etc. But im nichpap ha'silon koshehu, puzzle. If the pipe is bent, it's a problem. And from the presentation of the Rashba, I'm talking about a bent pipe. Even though it's mechubar lekarka, somehow that's considered a kli kibul, and that is super problematic. If I have a plain pipe that flows, so it's not really a kli that's mekabel anything, no? It's open on both ends. When I have a pipe with an elbow, so that's a real kli kibul, and that would be a problem, even though it's mechubar lekarka, the way the Rashba understood the Mishnah. Now, the Ravid in the eighth chapter of Hilchos Mikvaos, the Ravid on this din, the Rambam quotes the din, Mitarin HaMikvaos, El Yom Min HaTachnon, etc., Zuck the Ravid, Amar Avram, B'Tosefta, the Imhaya HaSilon Kof of Koshu, Posel. And Tosefta says it's possible if the pipe is bent. Now, the Ravid quotes this Tosefta. Maimonides does not quote the Tosefta. Right? Shulchan Aruch does not quote this din at all. Shulchan Aruch, though, isn't so proof positive. As we pointed out a few times, when Rabbi Yosef Karo wrote the Shulchan Aruch, he cuts and pastes from the Rambam. So the fact that a din does not appear in the Rambam is reason enough to tell me why that din will not make it in Shulchan Aruch. But if I assume that Me'ezah Sibah Shehi, the Rambam doesn't quote a halacha, but he still holds of it, so then what's it called? So the fact that Shulchan Aruch doesn't leave it, the fact that Shulchan Aruch leaves it out, doesn't necessarily mean I don't hold the din, because Shulchan Aruch is just quoting the Rambam, and if the Rambam has a reason to leave it out, etc. Good?
What about
Beis Yosef? Huh? Beis Yosef does quote it. So you get an impression that Beis Yosef, right? In other words, that's my other theory in life, that the Beis Yosef quotes this Tosefta somewhere. Beis Yosef quotes this Tosefta that because the Rash quotes it. So yeah, it could be that we hold it at Lahalacha, it just doesn't make it to Shulchan Aruch because Shulchan Aruch cuts and pastes from the Rambam. Shulchan Aruch is the review text, like I enjoy speaking about, right? Shulchan Aruch is there just to review Halacha very quickly. It's not really what a Rav should use to pass the Shai. You pass the Shai on Beis Yosef, not out of the Shulchan Aruch. This is some of my favorite Torah. So here's the thing. What's the story with this Ravid about the bent pipe? So the Kesef Mishnah already points out that the Mishnah, right, this is again the Rambam Periches, the Rambam Periches Halacha Zayin, and the Ravid says that a bent pipe is a problem. Zok the Kesef Mishnah, but Ani Omer, the Hadatznan in the fourth parak of Mikvos, Sinar Shir Hutsar Mikan, Umikan, Verachav Minha Emtsa Eno Polsel, Bibne Shalonasa Kabbalah, Hevet Yufde de Haravid. Says the Kesef Mishnah that there's a Mishnah in the fourth parak of Mikvos that we spoke about yesterday in passing. If I have a pipe that's narrow at one end, narrow at the other end, and it's like fat in the middle. So such a pipe does not pass all the mikvah. Says the Kesef Mishnah, right, this is a Mishnah Perek Dalet Mishnah Gimel. Says the Kesef Mishnah, you see from that case that a bent pipe is not a problem. And therefore, that halacha, that Mishnah is against the Tosefta. And it's a kasha on the Ravid. That's what the Kesef Mishnah writes. So the Kesef Mishnah himself has an approach where he says, well, maybe sometimes I can have a bent pipe and the intention is for the water to stay there. And sometimes I have a bent pipe, my intention is for the water not to stay there. And you have to figure out why the pipe is bent. And based on that, you know whether it's possible or not. So effectively, what the Kesef Mishnah is saying is that the Ravid agrees to both the Mishnah and the Tosefta. But in one case, again, I'm not a plumber, I don't know. In one case, the pipe is bent. When you have an elbow pipe, is the intention for it, the water to remain there temporarily? I think it might be. Because I think the idea sometimes is that you don't want the speed of the water to get really, you don't want the water to go really fast, so you bend the pipe. Right? Sometimes I bend the pipe just because of direction. Right? If my idea is to slow down the flow, I want it for the Kabbalah. So then it would be a problem. That's the Mahalach of the Kesef Mishnah. Therefore, there's no stira between the Mishnah and the Tosefta, and the Ravid is grand. Comes along the Chazon Ish in his notes on Reb Chaim, though. And the Chazon Ish says, one second. If the Kesef Mishnah is telling me that the Ravid quotes this Tosefta, because the Tosefta does not contradict the Mishnah. So that means that the Rambam, who does not quote the Tosefta, is going to say that the Tosefta contradicts the Mishnah. The Mishnah says the pipe that is narrow, bottom, narrow, top, and what's it called in the middle? The Rambam is going to say that contradicts the Tosefta. And therefore, the Rambam does not quote this halacha of curved pipes. Because Machlokas, Mishnah and Tosefta, the Mishnah is more accepted than the Tosefta. It's a more accepted halachic work. That's what the Chazon Ish would say. Well, that's what the Chazon Ish would say the Pshat and the Rambam is. Well, though, That's not so likely. The Chazanish says it's not so likely that the Rambam would say that there's a machlokis between the Mishnah and Tosefta and reject the Tosefta. I'd rather say the Chazanish that when the Rambam in Perek Ches, when the Rambam does not quote Mr. Tosefta about the bent pipe being a problem, that's because a standard pipe that is used, I have two mikvahs, the oyon and the tachton, the normal way of getting the water from the oyon to the tachton is with a straight pipe, not with a curved pipe. So the Rambam doesn't have to quote the din, and the Rambam merely holds a bit, that's what the Chazanish says. Okay, grand. Comes along Rabbeinu Chaim Halevi. You heard of him? Reb Chaim is the Rav's grandfather. So Reb Chaim has in the Sefer the following idea. He wants to say that, in fact, there is a machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid, Reb Chaim suggests. And the Rambam and the Ravid are l'shitasam. Because there's another Rambam and Ravid in the sixth perek of Mikvahos. If I have a keli, and I make a hole in the keli, and then I put that keli on the ground, we learn the halachos, that is a kosher mikvah. So the Ravid writes, how could this mikvah be kosher? The fact is, there is some cheres at the bottom of that, the kli gadol, and the cheres is made potentially lehishtamish bo, potentially it could be a keli. There is, right, I have a hole in it, but right now I stuff the hole up. So you want to say it's not a keli anymore, but it is a keli, ultimately, because I stuffed up the hole. And therefore, the Ravid says, you're being tovel bekelim. And that's a problem. What? Perek Vav of the Rambam Halacha Dalad. And the Ravid over there. So what the Ravid is saying is that there's a difference between being tovel bekelim and water that emerges from a keli. This is what Reb Chaim reads into the Rambam. Reb Chaim is a super genius, no? He's brilliant. I told you this. I was talking to Rabbi Ganek the other week. He came to Beis Medrash. So we're talking about Abraham Lincoln just because I like Lincoln. So Rabbi Ganek's comment is, Lincoln was super smart. You know, he had Reb Chaim brains. Like, whoa. That's like the highest praise that a brisket can give anyone. The Ravid in Perek Vav Halacha Dalin develops an idea that even if something loses Toras Keli, I make a hole in the Keli, it's not a Keli. But says the Ravid, it's not a Keli in terms of the water that emerges from it is not a Psul of She'uvin. But if I want to immerse in it, it's still a problem. So I have a Keli, I make a hole in the Keli, I stick the Keli on the ground. Says the Ravid, I can't use that area to dunk in, because there's a psul of tevila bikalim, even though it is not a full-fledged keli, even though there's like a hole in it. Point one in the Ravid. The Rambam disagrees with that point. The Rambam says that no, once you have something and you attach it to the ground, even though there's a hole in it, you're going to attach it to the ground so it's in a way that the water doesn't spill out of it. So the Rambam says you can even go in the mikvah in that thing. Says Reb Chaim, therefore, that this can explain the Rambam and the Ravid about the bent pipes. Reb Chaim understands that when they have two mikvahs, a top mikvah and a bottom mikvah, right? That's the case in the Mishnah, in Perek Vav Mishnah Ches. Each mikvah the Mishnah is talking about is a mikvah that has 20 sa'ah of water in it. The mikvah does not have 40 sa'ah. It's not a complete mikvah. It's 20 on top, 20 on bottom. I want to do chibor mikvahs. I want to attach the 20 to the 20. Says Reb Chaim, if I have a pipe that is there to attach two mikvahs, so then when I immerse in one of those mikvahs, it's tantamount to immersing in the pipe. And therefore, Since it's tantamount to immersing in the pipe, the Raivit tells me that for halachos of tevila bikeli, I have a different definition of a keli than they have for halachos of she'uvin. She'uvin means water that comes out of a keli. Says Reb Chaim, there's no contradiction between the Mishnah and the Tosefta. The Mishnah in Perek Dalet that speaks about a keli that is narrow, wide in the middle, narrow at the end, and it says that such a thing is not a keli. That means it's not a keli, that the water that emerges from it is not she'uvin. But according to the Raivid, at least, if I have mikvah on top, mikvah on bottom, each one less than 40 sa'ah, and I'm using that to connect the two mikvahs, so like I'm toivo in the keli, and to be toivo in the keli, even something that is not a full-fledged keli in other areas of halacha is a problem over here. That's what Reb Chaim says. But the Rambam disagrees with this svara. Reb Chaim notes, by the way, it's Perek Vav in the Reb Chaim, the last paragraph, the paragraph that begins Vihine. Again, I probably missed something because I read this Reb Chaim this morning and I understood it. That means I probably misunderstood. Because if I, right, it's like Woody Allen has a line, if you're a super genius, no one understands anything that you say. Right? So I'm assuming that because I think I understood Reb Chaim this morning, that means I didn't really understand it. But it seems to me that what Reb Chaim is saying is that the Raivin in Perek Vav develops a theme that there's a difference between being tovo in a keli and the water that emerges from that pipe. The water that emerges from that pipe, it's a shiloh she'uvin. Bent pipes, there's no shiloh she'uvin. But the to be tovo in the keli, and 2020, a connection is considered tovo in the keli. So then, according to the Raivit, a bent pipe is a problem. Now, in Reb Nissen Tolushkin's Sefer, the Taharas Mayim, page 146, this is. He taught one, whatever, page 148. He talks about this Raivit, that maybe the bent pipe is a problem. And he says the same idea of Reb Chaim without acknowledging Reb Chaim. He says, yeah, bent pipe is a problem, but it's not a problem of she'uvin. He just like throws it out there. He quotes this idea from the Sefer Gidulei Tahara. He writes, people don't have this book. So I'll tell you who the Gidulei Tahara is. It's Harav Hagon Sadik Niskov, Marina Rav Mendo Kargiva, who was Bucky B'kol Chadrei Torah. He's a Talmud of Reb Nosson Adler and then Pinchas Horowitz. He's a Talmud of the Naidim Yehuda and Naidim Yehuda's son-in-law, Reb Yosef Yoska. Right? He says like really good things about this guy. And he quotes the Tshuva of the Gedulei Tahara, who says, lock, stock, and barrel, exactly the idea of Reb Chaim. That even the Raivig, who says it's a problem, would not say it's a problem of She'uvim. And that's in the water that emerges from it is going to be problematic. Therefore, the mikvahs that we have, even with the bent pipes, is not a problem. I have a cousin. He's a Talmud Chacham. He called me last week with like a complicated ribbon shayla. He asked me if I could answer shayla to Rav Schechter, whatever it was. So he asked me, what am I teaching? And I said, I'm teaching mikvahs. And what are you talking about? I said, like, I hope to talk about whether Meha'ir is kosher for mikvah, because I've been excited about this topic for a while. He goes, I don't understand. How can it be a kosher at all? The pipes are bent. You can tell me there's no bent pipe anywhere between the Catskills and over here. So at first I said, listen, if it's a bent pipe that's attached to the ground, it's okay. That's not true. But I said to him on the phone, it's not true. Because if you learn the Mishnah, Parakvah, Mishnah has like the Rashba, even though it's attached to the ground, if it's bent, it still is a problem. But I have this idea that the Gidulei Tahara and Reb Chaim would say, which is that a bent pipe is not a problem for she'uvin. Moreover, one could make a strong case that the Rambam, at least according to Reb Chaim, the Rambam rejects the psul of bent pipes entirely. And Shulchan Aruch does not have this din of bent pipes anywhere. So I would argue that there's no psul of a mikvah with a bent pipe. Aye, maybe the Chazanish is right, and the Rambam holds of the psul of bent pipes but doesn't say it. I don't know. Once you have the, this is a Chazanish that argues on Reb Chaim, right? If you read Benny Brown's biography of the Chazanish, so you notice that the Chazanish just didn't get conceptual lumpness. Like, it just like, he, this is what Benny Brown points out. Like, Reb Chaim and the Chazanish are like not speaking the same language. So the Chazanish has notes on the Reb Chaim. It's like, oh, maybe the Rambam meant that bent pipes is a problem, he just didn't say it. Reb Chaim would say, dude, like, what are you smoking? I mean, like, it can't be. Like, yeah, well, you learn Torah in a conceptual way, right? Like, they're not speaking the same language. So yes, according to the Chazanish, the Rambam would say a bent pipe is a problem, but Reb Chaim is saying that the Rambam holds a bent pipe is not a problem, and even the Raven who says a bent pipe is a problem is only a problem for Tzvila Betocho, and therefore Kodavar Mekomo Yavo B'Shalom, therefore my bent pipe would not create a problem for the Mei Ha'ir as being a mikvah. So that was the next issue. The other issue to talk about is whether opening the faucet and closing the faucet, does that make it into a keli? So again, attached to the ground, maybe it's not a keli. Maybe this is a little bit worse. It's meant to open and close. Maybe it's more of a keli. It should be a problem. So Nissan Solushkin writes that Maran HaRav Kook, it's unbelievable. He like speaks to like the whole planet, no? Maran HaRav Kook. Writes about these, he writes that, what does Rav Kook say? Oh, Rav Kook agrees with me, he says, that the Night of Yehuda has a tshuva that if I have a barrel that was a keli, and then I make a hole in it, then I want to attach it to the ground, it's a problem. That's the Night of Yehuda based on Pashtus and Gemaras. One could argue, says Nissan Solushkin, that this is only true with something that was a keli, and then you make it not a keli. But something that's fundamentally not a keli, and you're going to make it a keli, so then it's not going to be a problem. My hot water system, fundamentally it's not a keli. The water should flow through and through and through. That means it's not a keli. You want to make it into a keli, are you day closing it? So then I'm going to say that if, even if I closed it while it was detached at one point to check if the, what's it called, the closing thing, the drain, check if the drain works, no? Let's check if the faucet, I close it one time when it's detached. The fact is, says Maran HaRav Kook and Rav Nissan Solushkin, that the idea that you could close it, or you do close it one time when it's detached, doesn't make something that's fundamentally not a keli into a keli. The next bit of discussion is something that fundamentally is a keli, and you're going to temporarily attach it and detach it, right? So that remains possible. But says Rav Kook and Nissan Solushkin, something that's fundamentally not a keli, so that doesn't work. Now, I don't understand this story at all, because it seems to me that the reason why I have a faucet is because I don't want water to flow the whole time. You see, if my water would keep on flowing, it would overflow my bathtub, would get into my neighbor's apartment. Life would be pretty bad, no? So I want a dafka to open sometimes and to close sometimes. So I don't know if this svara makes any sense. The idea that fundamentally the faucet is not a keli, and you want to attach it to make it a keli, therefore it's not analogous to another Yehuda's case. Again, Rav Kook says it, so like I have to have a lot of trepidation, but like I don't understand what the man is talking about. And that's the basic issue over here. Is there a din of havaya ayyadei adam when I open the drain or I open the faucet? Is that creating the flow through a person, which is a sort of a mikvah? So again, this is not havaya. Havaya means I actually draw the water. Right, or I actually bring the water in. Over here, I'm stopping the water from flowing. So that, I think, is where I'm stopping the water from whatever it is. That might not be called Havaya. So basically, when all the dust settles...
Why is it not Havaya? You're
I think because removing zechila is not called havaya. That's the idea. Removing the zechila, that was a machlokas that we spoke about. Where is that Mishnah about even the zav and the zava can stop the flow? So no one says that that issue is considered a... Where is that Mishnah?
The
Parakeh. The Note Fincha Son Zochlim. Some I feel Makal, I feel Kana, I feel Zabazab, and Yuri, the Tobel, different Rebbe Huda, Rebbe Yosia, and Kodam, that's Makabotoma, in Mazfil and Bone. So the Rambam understands that Mishnah means that the word is going drip, 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 and I want to make it a single flow, right? So I can't make it a single flow. The Rash understands that that Mishnah is saying that I have the water that's going through a crack in the mikvah, and I'm stopping the water from going through the crack. So according to the Rash, preventing zechila is called havaya. According to the Rambam, preventing zechila is not called havaya. Right? We spoke about this, I think. And there's like 3 points of dispute between the Rambam and the Rash, right? The Rambam says that the Rambam says that havaya is only a problem by a ma'ayan. There's nothing of havaya by a mikvah at all. Right? So I could dissect the issue and say that, right, maybe stopping the flow is not called havaya, perhaps, and that could perhaps solve the issue of the mei ha'ir and whether the mei ha'ir is kosher as a mikvah. Okay, so again, it seems to me that when all is said and done, the biggest issue over here is potentially the pumps, in the sense of the pumps that operate by electricity, and that's going to be considered ma'isa ha'adam, like I see by matzah. That's what I would argue. If you have a system that you know, you live close enough to the Catskill Mountains, and you know there's no pump that's bringing your water anywhere, so then I would say that it's probably okay. The pipes are bent. So I think we developed the theme that bent pipes do not really create an issue like we discussed, or even according to the Rav, that's an issue. It's only an issue, like Reb Chaim says, about being tovel bitocho. It's not an issue of the water that comes out. Now, that's what I have to say about mei ha'ir and whether they are kosher as a mikvah. Again, Reb Nissen Tolushkin wrote this essay. And then, what's his name? There was a Gaon, Reb Yosef Zweig, who argued on him. And he responds, Reb Yosef Zweig. And he quotes on page 163. That Reb Avram Chaim Noah, he was the Lubavitcher Posek in Shkunat HaBukharim. He has like all of the small Shiurim in Judaism. Reb Avram Chaim Noah got him a sefer from the Lubavitcher Rebbe's library called Mitzur Midvash. Apparently it's a rare book. You can only get it. Right? The Rebbe has a gigantic library. So this fellow, Reb Avram Mitzrayim, talks about that the way they built mikvahs in Egypt is they had pipes that would take the water from the Nile River and it would bring the water into their homes. And they used that water, which was the standard water that they used. It's basically the city water. In Egypt, they used the city water to build mikvahs. And he talks about a certain pump that they made to bring the water from the Nile into their bathtubs. And the pump, says Reb Nissen Tolushkin, quoting from Reb Avram Chaim Noah, based on the sefer that he got, the pump is very similar to the pumps he describes, and therefore it is all okay. In other words, what he's doing is he's saying that there is precedence for using mei ha'ir as a mikvah. This issue came up at length during COVID. Many people were worried about going to mikvahs during COVID, especially before people had a sense that the virus is mostly transmitted airborne. But at the time when we were all wearing gloves and stuff, people were worried about going to the mikvah. during COVID. So there was a whole movement to go back to bathtub mikvahs. Rabbi Aryeh Klapper wrote an essay about this. He actually quotes me in that essay, so I like it. He wrote an essay about the bathtub mikvahs, quoting Rabbi Miller. He writes that, how does anyone have the idea that bathtub mikvah is good, bathtubs are too small? And then he noted that Rabbi Miller, in the revision of his sefer, writes that bathtub mikvahs might be okay because his shear of a mikvah is much smaller. I at that time did not know that Rabbi Yudel Rosenberg is making on bathtub mikvahs. The part that Rabbi Klapper does not get into, which to me is the more interesting halachic part, is this question of whether mei ha'ir is kosher for a mikvah. Let's just very briefly discuss another two issues that come up in Se'if Tesvav, which is the din if I have a mikvah chaser and gimel lugin of mayim she'uven falls into the mikvah, that is going to be a problem. That passels the mikvah. Gimel lugin of mayim she'uven passels the mikvah. How much is gimel lugin? So it goes like this. There are four lugin of sa'ah, right? Four lugin of sa'ah. And there are 60 sa'ah, one second. It ends up being 240, right? There are four lug in. I had the math over here somewhere. There are four lug in a kav, and there are six kav in a sa'ah, right? So that means that there are 24 lug in a sa'ah. A mikveh has to be 40 sa'ah. So what's 24 times 40? 960. So there's 960 lug in a 40 sa'ah mikveh. What is 3 lug? Assuming that the size of a mikveh, the way, who's the math major here? Assuming the size of a mikveh is the smallest size we have for a mikvah is here. Where's my numbers? The smallest size for a mikvah that I was able to find would be smallest size of a mikvah is 648 liters of water. Okay, so 648 liters of water equals 240 lug. Excuse me, 648 liters equals, that's a full mikvah. And the full mikvah is, what did we say, 960 lug. So how big is 3 lug? 20 something? No. Again, there's 648 liters. Right, equals 960 lug. So one lug is how much? 0.675 liter. So three of them is going to be... Gimel lugin passes a mikvah. That's going to be like 1.9, right? 2.025, okay? 2.025 liters passels a mikvah. The standard soda bottle is 2 liters. Right? So if you have a soda bottle of water at the bottom of your mikvah before anything comes into it, that's pasul min haTorah according to Rabbi Nitan. Rabbi Nitan holds that gimel lugin betriva passels. Right? We paskin that if I pour a soda bottle of mayim she'uven into mikvah that's less than arba'im sa'ah, that passels the mikvah also. Right? So again, a soda bottle of water. That's not that much, but it's not that little. Right? Okay, so that's the din of mayim, of gimel lugin of mayim she'uven. What's the source of gimel lugin? Where do I have that number in Judaism? So there are two possibilities. There are three possibilities I'm aware of. Rabbi Nutan sounds like gimel lugin betchilas sota iraisa, meaning it has to be a halacha moshe misinai. Rabbi Nutan says three lugins halacha moshe misinai. The Rav in the Sefer Bali HaNefesh, however, says that gimel lugin is the smallest amount of nesachim by a carbon sefer. By the Beis HaMikdash, carbon sefer, The smallest amount was 3 lugin. There is another shita in Rishonim, based on the Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Yud Daled, that 3 lugin is the amount that a person needs to shower their entire body. Does that work, by the way? Take a soda bottle, pour it on your head. Well, again, if I'm really short, maybe. I don't know. If I, this year, I don't fully understand. But apparently, Gimel Lugin is the minimum amount of water. I guess it probably means if you do like a sponge bath, right? So Gimel Lugin is the minimum amount to what's it called? The minimum amount to wash your body. The Gemara has rules that are quoted here in Shulchan Aruch, that Gimel Lugin is a problem if it comes from 3 kalim. If it comes from 4 or 5 kalim, it's not a problem. Rashi writes in Timura Daf Yud Beis, what that means is that each kalim has to retain at least a lug. If I have 4 kalim and a total of 3 lugin, that means that each kalim is less than a lug. That would mean also, let's say I have 2 kalim, 2 is less than 3, but one of them has 2.5 lug, the other has half a lug, that does not invalidate the mikvah. Unless, it says in Shulchan Aruch, I have das mitzvah. If I have das, I want to keep on adding, keep on adding, keep on adding, so it's going to be a problem. That's where the Shulchan Aruch paskins these halachos. The din of 3 kalim versus 4 or 5 kalim is probably a din drabonon. The idea is that 1 lug is a significant amount of water, and less than 1 lug is not significant. That sounds like it's a din drabonon. Within Rabbeinu Tam land, that it's a din d'oraisa. So then we could question whether if I have 3 lugin at the bottom of my mikvah, right? Again, Rabbeinu Tam holds, if I have a mikvah that begins with 3 lugin of she'uvin, that mikvah is pasul min atayra. If the din is based on karbanos, so then one could argue that the halacha of nisuch by karbanos, again, I'm mamish know nothing about kachin. But Nissan Tolushkin says that when they would do nisuchim by the karbanos, they would most often have a small keli, the size of a lug, and that would add up. Again, I'm not exactly sure, but if it's based on karbanos, so you could say that if you have more than 4 kalim, more than 3 kalim, it would not be a problem. However, if it's based on washing your body, so then it should be a problem on the level of Dairaisa. Just midrabbonim, we assume it's not a problem. Again, there's much more to say about Gimel Lugin of Mayan. What I want to talk about is 3 Lugin. Talk about how your Machshir Mikvah that has 3 Lugin, a Sifa, Chafal, Sif, Chaf, Beis. Talk about the Dinim of Hamshacha, Si'if, Lamites. Then I want to talk about Shinoi Mare, and then we're done. Right, then we know all of Judaism, all of Torah, like we're as good as Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky, goes really easy. Okay, guys, have a great day.